Okay, so get this right. We're diving into a law today, and it's a weird one. Like, seriously strange. It's called the Comstock Act, and it was passed way back in 1873. Get this. It was all about banning obscene stuff from the mail. You'd think, okay, 1873, obscene stuff, we're talking like Victorian erotica, right?
What's wild is how broad they defined obscene. This wasn't just about pornography. We're talking anything about contraception or abortion.
Whoa, hold up a sec. You're saying this law from the horse and buggy days could affect access to reproductive health care today?
Unfortunately, yes. It was mostly ignored for decades, but after Roe v. Wade was overturned, some folks are saying, hey, the Comstock Act, that's a federal way to restrict abortion, even where it's legal.
Okay, so we've got this law from, like, when people still rode horses everywhere, potentially shaping health care now. That's insane. But it gets even weirder when you hear about the guy behind it, Anthony Comstock.
Comstock is a fascinating figure, though extreme, sure. He was obsessed with purity, saw immorality everywhere he looked. This law, this was his weapon. We're talking arresting people for mailing information about contraception?
Wait, seriously, just for information, that's wild.
Seriously. And get this, even mentioning obscene materials in, like, fundraising reports got people arrested. Talk about irony, right?
Oh man, the irony is thick. So this Comstock character, he sounds like a real piece of work, but he must have some serious backing to get this law passed,
And
right?
he did, big time. Influential groups like the YMCA, even big names like Samuel Colgate, yeah, the toothpaste guy.
Hold on. Colgate. Like the toothpaste. Seriously.
Yep, the one and only. And here's where it gets really interesting, right? So Colgate's funding Comstock's crusade against immorality. But guess what else he's doing? Heavily invested in marketing Vaseline as a contraceptive.
Wait, what? They're cracking down on information about contraception, but a key supporter is making bank off a product pushed for that exact purpose. Talk about hypocrisy.
Exactly. Shows you, even back then, these morality campaigns, often about power, money, control. Comstock Act wasn't just about being prudish. It was a tool, you see, a tool for certain interests.
So we've got this law, powerful backers, but what exactly did it go after? How broad was obscene back then?
That's the unsettling part. It wasn't just hardcore pornography. That was Comstock's beginning, sure. But we're talking medical textbooks, pamphlets on reproductive health, even letters between people. Anything about contraception or abortion, boom, labeled obscene.
So someone could get in trouble for just putting information about birth control in the mail. That's messing with basic rights, isn't it?
Exactly. It had a chilling effect on free speech, on access to healthcare information for decades.
And who was in charge of enforcing this law? Were there like special police units, the obscenity squad or something?
You had law enforcement, of course, but there was this whole network of self-proclaimed moral police. Anti-vice societies, they called themselves. They took it upon themselves to, root out immorality.
You're kidding, right? That's like something out of a movie. These guys had actual power.
Oh, yeah, they had a surprising amount of power. They could arrest people, seize their property, even profit from the fines. Talk about a conflict of interest.
This is sounding more and more like a witch hunt, honestly. What were they doing, like setting traps for people?
To laugh, but yeah, kind of. There were cases where they'd pose as someone looking for contraception or an abortion, then bam, they'd use that interaction to arrest them.
Man, that is messed up.
Yeah.
So we've got a broad, vague law enforced by these self-appointed morality police with shady motives. It's easy to see how the Comstock Act could be used to target people, silence dissent, all in the name of morality.
And it was. This wasn't just about banning explicit material. This is about controlling the narrative around sex, reproduction, even women's roles in society.
It's crazy, right? This law had so much power, and people were fighting back even back then.
Totally. They saw right through it. Comstockery, that's what they called it. Censorship disguised as morality. And they weren't going to take it lying down.
This wasn't just a few people, right? Who were some of the big names fighting against this Comstock Act?
One of the loudest voices was Victoria Woodhull. A true pioneer, a champion for women's rights, even ran for president in 1872. And get this, she had her own newspaper. Talk about ahead of her time.
Wow, running for president back then as a woman. That's incredible. What kind of reactions did she get?
Oh, she faced tons of opposition, but she didn't back down. Woodhull challenged the hypocrisy, especially around sexuality. She even exposed this prominent preacher's affair. That really put her in Comstock's sights.
So he used this to try and silence her with these obscenity laws.
You got it. He saw her as a threat and went after her newspaper. Funny thing is, he actually lost that case. but it just made him push for even stricter laws, which eventually led to, you guessed it, the Comstock Act.
That's scary, you know? Even when these attempts to control information fail, they can still scare people and even lead to worse laws down the line.
You see that throughout history. And it wasn't just activists like Woodhull. Even famous writers got caught in the crossfire.
Really? Like, who are we talking about here?
Classic authors, timeless books, the Decameron, the Canterbury Tales, banned from the mail. Comstock said they were obscene.
It's almost funny now, looking back.
It's like something out of a dystopian novel, you know? Book burning, censorship. Imagine if someone tried to ban those books today. People would flip. But back then, this law gave a handful of people the power to decide what others could read, all in the name of morality.
And it wasn't just fiction, right? You mentioned medical textbooks before. How could medical information be obscene?
It's crazy, I know. Textbooks with information on reproductive health, anatomy, anything Comstock considered too explicit, seized, destroyed. Doctors, medical students, anyone who needed that information, they were left in the dark.
That's awful. People were denied crucial healthcare information because of this. It shows how these attempts to control information, even under the guise of morality, can have terrible consequences.
And it's ironic, right? Some of Comstock's own supporters got caught in the crossfire.
It's true. There were cases where members of these anti-vice societies were targeted themselves for even mentioning obscene material, you know, their fundraising reports. Talk about hypocrisy. Wow, that is some serious irony. It just shows the danger of these broad, vague laws. They create this environment of fear where anyone could be targeted, even those who think they're on the right side of the law.
Exactly. The Comstock Act, it exposes the dangers of unchecked power, especially when it's dressed up as something good. But hey, there's a silver lining. The Comstock Act eventually lost its grip on society.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did public opinion change? Legal challenges?
It was a combination of things. Courts started pushing back against the act's overreach. People got tired of these moral crusades, and society as a whole became more open-minded about free speech and individual liberties.
So after decades of causing trouble, the Comstock Act faded away. But, and here's the kicker, it's making a comeback. It's hard to believe, right? We're talking Victorian vice squads, and now suddenly it's a law from the 1800s to maybe regulate abortion nationwide, now, in the 21st century.
It shows you how history can circle back, how things we think are settled can be up for debate again. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, it kind of breathed new life into this old law. Some people, they see the Comstock Act as this way to limit abortion, even in states where it's still legal.
It's kind of terrifying, right? A law meant to control information, personal freedom, back then, could be used for similar things today. What does that say about all the progress we thought we made?
It's a wake-up call, that's for sure. This Comstock Act coming back, it shows how important it is to protect our rights. Especially now, things change so fast. If they can bring back this law, what else could they dig up, you know? What other old laws could they try to use?
That's a scary thought, like opening up this whole can of worms, old laws that could undo so much. And what's worse, it bypasses how laws are supposed to be made.
Right.
Instead of talking about it, voting on it, they're trying to twist old laws to fit what they want now.
That's the key point. This isn't just one law. It's like setting an example, showing how laws can be interpreted, used. It makes you question, like, separation of powers, the courts overreaching, the whole foundation of our democracy. We can't just assume our rights are safe. We got to know them, value them, and be ready to fight for them.
You said earlier that people fought back against this Comstockery thing. Are we seeing that now, too? People pushing back?
Absolutely. Legal experts, they're saying the Comstock Act isn't even constitutional. And groups that support reproductive rights, they're getting organized, protecting healthcare access. People are realizing, hey, we need to protect our freedoms. And they're remembering the lessons from the past, what happens when you don't.
Well, that's good to hear, Elise. You know, it reminds me of that phrase, Comstockery, that George Bernard Shaw came up with. It's just... it perfectly sums up how ridiculous, how overreaching this kind of moral policing is.
Exactly. Comstockery became this word for those moral crusades that blew up in their faces, you know? They caused more problems than they solved, and often the people they claimed to help were the ones who got hurt the most.
This whole deep dive, this Comstock Act, it's been eye-opening. It shows that the past isn't always gone, is it? It can come back in strange ways, making us question things, making us face some hard truths about ourselves, about society. But like you said, throughout history, there have always been people who stand up, who fight against what's wrong for a better future.
That's what keeps things moving forward, that hope. When we learn from the past, when we have real conversations, when we take part in shaping our future, that's how we make sure things keep getting better, that our freedoms are safe for us, for our kids, everyone.
That's a good note to end on. So, to everyone listening, think about this. What other old laws are still out there, just waiting to come back? And what are you going to do to make sure the future is one where we're free, where history doesn't just repeat itself? Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time.